You're tuned in to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as The Remnant, one of the most listened to podcasts in the Christian community. You can visit our website, toddcoconato.com. And now broadcasting live around the world from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, here's the host of the show, Pastor Todd Coconato.
Is God enough? Is he enough? Well, that's a big question. Big question. We're going to talk about this today on the broadcast and embark on this journey of answering this profound question. It resonates through the ages, and it's a question that's echoed in the hearts of believers and seekers alike. Is God enough? I ask this because in today's world, it seems like in a lot of Christians' lives, and we all may be guilty of this at times, it doesn't seem like God is enough, yet he needs to be. And I've had to question myself on this, and you know, people just see you preaching or the public persona of you, but sometimes they don't see the struggles, the warfare, the challenges, the minefield that you as an individual have to walk through, even if you're in ministry. And I believe that everyone listening to this broadcast has had times where you've questioned your faith, where you've questioned, is this real? Is this actually what's going on in our world? Now, I hope that everyone has come to the same conclusion that I have. It is real. This is absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the reality of our world. I know that I know that I know. Why? Because God has proven himself over and over in my life to be faithful. And he's always led me to where I need to go. Not always where I want to go, but where I need to go. He's provided. He's been there in good and bad times. And he is a faithful God in my life. And he's a faithful God in your life. But we have to understand that in the turbulent times that we're in, where honestly the Bible says men's hearts will fail because of the things that have come upon the earth, the many, many things that are going on in the earth, and as the days and hours get later and there's a rise in the spirit of Antichrist, and we're dealing with more and more persecution and more troubling times, and the enemy is always looking to devour. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour, you know, roar. You know, even though God is a good lion, the devil's a bad lion, okay? There's two different versions of lions in the Bible. You got the lion of the tribe of Judah, who is none other than the Savior himself. He's the good lion. He's the good father. He's the good father, son, and Holy Spirit. He is the God of heaven and earth. And then you have the demons and the devil and the roaring. He comes like a roaring lion seeking to whom he can devour. He comes to steal and kill and to destroy. And so as the Christian life, our life, we are constantly in this battle. And every day, we never quite know when the next assignment of the enemy, when the next challenge is. Sometimes we'll be in a real good season, all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's like we're blindsided. Other times we're in a very difficult season and the enemy just hits us like a barrage more and more. You're like, no, not another. And he wants you to feel overwhelmed. And it's in those times, actually in all these times that I mentioned, that our faith is tested. And we have to, there's times when we, you know, especially, I mean, you know, it's easy when you're just, you know, going through life and things are pretty good. But, you know, what about you go through a marital challenge or a divorce or the death of a loved one or family member or child, that's way more difficult. I mean, these things, they take people out. I mean, there's nothing like the devastation of losing a loved one. There's nothing like, some people say a divorce is like death, and I believe it is. You're going through the death of your marriage, and it's painful, and people persecute you, and they don't know the real situation that you're walking through. And sometimes Christians can be the meanest people. I know it's crazy, but friendly fire, they call it, not so friendly. How many of you have gone through an instance in the body of Christ where someone's backstabbed you or front stabbed you? I'd rather be stabbed in the front than stabbed in the back. I actually have been stabbed in the front. That's another story for another day in reality. But the deal is, though, is that it's these times that really test us. You know, you have no more money, zero money in the bank. You're actually negative. There's been seasons in my life where my bank account wasn't just zero, it was negative. I had probably written a check that overdrafted and I didn't have the money in the account. So I would go to the bank, and not only was it zero, it was like negative $100. I mean, somebody knows what I'm talking about. Nothing. You don't own anything. Now, praise God, I'm not in that season right now, but I'm not wealthy. I'm just, you know, blessed in the fact that I have a roof over my head and a car to drive and food to eat. And praise God, you know, he takes care of my needs. And I've learned to depend on Jesus. My family has learned. I mean, we're in a time where it's expensive. You go to the grocery store, it's expensive. You go out to eat, it's expensive. I mean, even if you just have one child, it's expensive. Imagine if you have six kids, really expensive. You know what I'm talking about. So listen, our faith is constantly on the line from the devil trying to test us, like he tested the Lord. But we should never, in this point in our walk and in this time, we should never doubt God. We should never let the doubt of whether our faith is real. We need to know that we know that we know. We need to live in a place that we know that he takes care of the birds there. He takes care of the fish of the sea. How much more is he going to take care of me? We need to know that he's ordering our steps, that he is the potter and we're the clay, that he goes before us, that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Again, easy said, but when you're going through one of those things I mentioned, not so easy. So what is the determining factor that we as a human being can get to a place that when the storms of life are happening, you might be in the middle of it right now, when you're being tried and tested and put through the refiner's fire, what is it going to mean? What is it going to look like that you're going to stay strong in your faith? Here's why you got to stay strong in your faith. There's a lot of reasons. But without faith, you can't please the God of heaven and earth. Do you know that? Without faith, faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the things hoped for. You know, we're praying for things. We're believing God is about to do a miracle in my life. God is about to restore my health. He's about to restore my marriage. He's about to bring in the finances. He's going to get my wayward son saved. He's going to get, you know, my daughter that's in rebellion saved. This is the faith we're believing. I just signed a lease for our new church building. And by faith, I put down a check that this is more than we've ever had to pay every month. And let me tell you something, it's scary. It's scary. But the deal is I have to believe. The Lord said, you got to start walking on the water. You got to believe in faith that this money is going to come in. And here's what you do, Todd. You show up, you preach the truth, and you believe. And you sow seed, and you do what you need to do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And he's going to provide according to his riches and glory. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And so he gave me a yes in the spirit, but sometimes you got to walk through the door. And there's the vision, and then there's the provision. We believe that the Lord is going to move in miracles, signs, and wonders every Friday night here in Nashville. And so we're going to gather, but we're going to treat it like we're gathering for a tent crusade. We're going to treat these meetings as if we're coming together in a revival environment and believing for miracles, signs, and wonders. We're believing that people are going to come from the highways and the byways to, you know, from all the different parts of the country, not just Nashville, as a destination. And they're going to come here and there's going to be a move of God. Why? Because we're going to get out of the way. And we're going to say, come Holy Spirit, we want to see you move. And we're going to have the faith to believe it. Now, I'm not bragging on our group and our church and the Remnant community. I believe many of you understand what I'm saying. We believe God is enough. And so in this world that constantly pushes us towards more and more what? Possessions, achievements, stature, celebrity, followers, likes, pleasures. It's easy to find ourselves ensnared in the belief that God, in his simplicity and purity, might not suffice for our complex desires and needs. Yet, the scriptures, our timeless guide, the truth, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and our comfort, speak directly to this doubt, offering us not just an answer, but listen to this, a revelation of God's all sufficiency. We have to, as a believer, have an encounter with the living God. And when we have an encounter, it's not the same as just saying, yes, I'm a Christian. It's not the same as a religion. This is a relationship. It's an encounter. It's achieved in the secret prayer closet. It's achieved in those times when you have a relationship with God. You are calling out to the Lord on a daily basis. You're speaking to him. He knows you. You know him. You're filled with His Holy Spirit. You don't have to go to someone else to get the word. You don't have to go to someone else to be encouraged. Why? Because you have access directly to the God of heaven and earth, and He is more than enough. Yes. So we got to look at the book of Philippians, where the Apostle Paul writes from a place of imprisonment. He was in prison. He was bound in prison. And it's a situation that by any standard would be considered lacking. It would be considered bad. It was a bad situation. He was locked up. Yet he declares in Philippians 4:19, this is out of the New King James, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That is a bold and amazing statement to say when you find yourself in prison. Most people, let me just be real, would not be saying that when they're in prison. Paul's assurance of God's provision does not stem from his circumstance. And I want you to get this today. Whatever you're going through, we talked about some pretty real stuff already. If you're going through one of those things that we talked about, or maybe something different, whatever it is, God, listen to this, okay? Paul's assurance of God's provision does not stem from his circumstance, which, by the way, is dire. But it stems from his unwavering faith in God's character and his promise for his life. He understands that he is a child of the Most High God. That's who he is. That's his identity. And he trusts Daddy God. He trusts the God creator of heaven and earth, who is his God, the God of his life, that he is going to somehow get him out of this. Somehow things are going to turn around. And all his needs, and this is very important, all his needs are going to be met according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus. So consider the words of David. Another one. King David in Psalm 23:1. This is what he says. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." See here, David, who is a king, who had known both abundance and, by the way, dire want in a certain period of his life, he recognizes that with God as his good shepherd, he lacks nothing. Oh my goodness, are you getting this right now? Because I know a lot of Christians that feel like they're lacking. I know a lot of Christians right now that feel like they've gotten a bad deal. You're in the middle of the waiting season. You're in the middle of the testing season. And you're wondering, did God forget about me? Why is it that everybody else seems to be getting promotions? Why is it that everybody else seems to be doing what I feel I'm called to do? And here I am. God, have you forgot about me? Here's the answer. No, he has not forgotten you. See, David understood who he served. David understood that the Lord is his shepherd, and he shall not what? Want. The devil uses what we want so that he can try to lure us away from the things of God. The devil will look at what you long gaze at, what you stare at, what he thinks you want, what you openly speak about what you want. And he will allure, he will enchant, he will use your weakness. If you have an open door, if there's an area of weakness, if you're tired, if you're weary, if there's an area where you just say, I don't want to fight in this area anymore, so therefore, I'm gonna cave here, I'm gonna compromise here, I'm gonna allow a little bit of compromise here because I'm just too tired. And what happens is the devil comes in that little area. He comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour, and he wants to devour you. Now, David fought his lion. He fought his bear. David was a man that had problems. He was a man that had issues. He was a man that fell from time to time. He did very crazy things, like looking at other men's wives and sending his buddy over to the front line of battle so he'd be killed, just so that he could take that woman. Horrible things. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a sinner. But you know what else he was? He was a good repenter. He was a man of conviction. He knew when he had done wrong. And by the way, he had to deal with his sin. His sin had consequences just like everybody. But one thing David did understand and he did know is the Lord was his shepherd. He is his shepherd. He said, I shall not want. And so here, David, a king who had known both abundance and dire want, recognizes that God, as his shepherd, he lacks nothing. And in God's guidance and provision and protection, David finds a completeness that the world's pastures could never offer. See, David was on a journey. People say, you know, I kind of identify with David because David was not a good man in many times of his life. He was a good man, but he wasn't a good man. He was a good repenter, but he sinned a lot. The thing about David, though, is that he had a heart for God. That's why God said he's a man after my heart. I can imagine David as a guy who, when he did sin, and this I can relate to this very much, and I know many of you can. When he did sin, he was the guy that was up at night saying, God, I don't know why I did that. I'm so sorry. He was probably on his knees and on his face and just felt very, very sorry for what he did. He wasn't the guy that would just keep repetitively sinning and just thumb his nose at God. This was a man that had conviction. He loved God. He knew God was real. He had a relationship with God, but he fell. But when he did fall, he was burdened by conviction. And so what he did, see, this is because David had an encounter with God. What God is showing us throughout the scripture is, look, I mean, none of us are going to be perfect. And we're going to have to deal for our sin. Like, if we sin, there's repercussions. But God looks at the heart of the situation. He says, are you thumbing your nose at me? In other words, repetitively sinning in an area that I've already chastised you and chastened you for? Or is this something that you honestly made a mistake, but you feel bad about and you're repentant? He is looking for repentant people that have a heart for him, that trust him, and that know he is our shepherd. And therefore, we shall not want because we don't lack. You say, I don't have a penny to my name, but you don't lack. See, for whatever reason, God has taken you to this season in your life. And in this season in your life, guess what? You're still taken care of. You may be, in the world's standards, poor, but in God's standards, you are rich. Why? Because you are a child of the Most High God. Has he taken you out of your home? Some people, you had a home once. Now you don't even have a home. Somebody listening to this, you say, I had a car, I had a home, I had a good job, and this happened and that happened. And now I don't even have my own home. I don't even have my own car. I don't even have money in the bank. And here's this pastor on this radio show saying I'm wealthy. No, you are wealthy because if you have Jesus Christ, that is the most important thing. And you are connected to the God of heaven and earth who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And that is your inheritance. So here's what I'm trying to say. Is God enough for you? Is his grace sufficient for you? Do you know that he is indeed your shepherd and you shall not want? And will he supply all of your needs according to what his riches and glory? The answer is yes. Yes, he will. And so what I want you to do, I want you to embrace your identity. I want you to embrace your inheritance right now. I want you to speak. Maybe when we get off this broadcast today, have some time with the Lord and say, Lord, I declare and decree and receive the good things that you have in store for my life. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am going to speak it. I'm going to answer the call on my life. And I shall not want and I shall not lack. You shall not. You receive it. It's biblical. So Jesus himself in Matthew 6:33 instructs us. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what he says, all these things, what do you say? Some of these things, a few of these things. I want you to receive this. All of these things shall be added unto you. These words come as a beacon of light in a sermon that addresses worry about life's basic needs, food, drink, clothing, house, car, whatever it is. Jesus reassures us that our Father knows, hear this, each and every need, and that by prioritizing his kingdom. Okay, I'm going to stop here because if I'm your pastor, I want you to get this. If you listen to this broadcast and you get fed from this, I want you to get what's being said here. Because there's going to be folks that are going to tell you this is not from the Bible. This is from the Bible. You see my life. You see what God has done. He's not done. I'm not perfect. There's still a lot more to be done. I'm just a testimony, though he spared my life. He's taken me this far. Praise God. And I give him all the glory. I don't take any. The only thing I've done is show up and say yes and be a good repenter. I am not perfect. I will tell you over and over again. I'm not perfect, but my heart is to serve the Lord with all my heart. I repent when I make a mistake. I do everything in my power not to make mistakes. I certainly don't want to enter into any repetitive sin because I know that opens a door. But I want you to get this, okay? And I'm going to say it again. Jesus himself in Matthew 6:33 instructs us. What does he say? He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. And so Jesus is reassuring us that our Father knows our needs and that by prioritizing his kingdom, why do I always say, make it about his kingdom, make it about souls. Do the work of the kingdom. Every day, what can I do for you, Lord? How can I be about your business? How can I be in alignment with your Holy Spirit? How can I be in your perfect will? Here I am, send me. Because here's why I want everybody that's listening to this to know this. Because if you do this, I don't care what's going on in the economy. I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't care what's going on in politics. If you do this, you are going to have the blessing and favor of God on your life, and you're going to see the favor of the Lord, the open doors, and I want you to see how the scripture then plays out. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, souls, kingdom business, the things that he desires. He tells us to do, to go out, to cast out, to drive out, to be on fire for him. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you do these things, the fruit of the Spirit, love, all these things that he's told us to do. He says, then here's his promise. Here's your inheritance. Then these things are going to be added unto you. Not when you make them the priority. Not when you make them the idol. Not when you have it out of order. Not when you hoard what God's given you and you bury the talent, you bury the finances. Some of you are sitting on $1 million. And you're later on in your life, and what is it? What are you saving it for? You say, well, my kids. And that's noble, and I understand that, and I'd probably do a similar thing. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're wondering, there's certain things that God has given you so that you can bless others, so that you can fund the kingdom. And so don't bury the talent. If you want to be used of the Lord, put that to work. Use it for the kingdom. Listen to what he's saying. These things shall be added unto you. What is it that we make it about? Kingdom. If you make everything in your life about kingdom, it's not just finances. It's the way you interact with society. It's the way you treat your family. It's discipling people. It's making disciples. It's preaching the gospel, getting people saved and set free and healed and delivered, having love and kindness and patience and self-control and having long suffering and being the hands and arms of Jesus Christ, the salt and the light in this world. You make it about, that's your priority. I'm telling you, friend, because this is a kingdom dynamic and a kingdom principle. What's going to happen, because this is a promise of God, is he says, these things are going to be added unto you. Hallelujah. You shall not lack. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, we find a powerful testament of God's sufficiency in our weaknesses. The Lord says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Paul's response, he says, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In our most vulnerable moments, God's grace is not just enough, it is our unfailing strength. I'm here to tell you today that you have enough strength to get through this. You have enough strength to win this battle. You have enough strength to press through. This may be a momentary situation in your life, but get ready for the comeback. Oh, that just sounds like, you know, you're making us feel good. No, actually, it's from the Bible. Do I preach hard stuff a lot of times? Yes, always. I'm not afraid to preach the entirety of the Word of God, but I cannot leave this part out, friends, because this is what keeps me going. See, lastly, let us reflect on Psalm 73:25-26, where Asaph expresses a profound realization Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is my strength, the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, here lies the ultimate understanding of God's sufficiency. When every earthly support fails, God remains. He's not just a portion of our lives. He's our everything. He's the air that we breathe. Beloved, the question, is God enough, can only be answered through a journey of faith, a journey that each of us must embark on personally and daily, as we die to our flesh daily, as we renew our mind, as we navigate the trials and the joys of this life. So may we anchor our hearts in the truth of God's word, finding in him our all in all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you feel the presence of the Lord right now? I do. In closing, let us pray that God would reveal himself to us as our shepherd, our provider, our strength, our portion, our very present help in time of need. He is not only enough, he's more than enough. May we seek him first, trust in his provision, and find in him a sufficiency that the world, this dying world, can never, 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 never give. Because he is our strength. He's our source. He's more than enough. Is God enough? Oh, you better believe it, friends. I love you so much. Hey, listen, if you enjoyed this today, let me know. Write me, pastortodd.org, pastortodd.org. We have an app in the App Store, Todd Coconato Ministries app. It's a little red R for the remnant. And we love you. We bless you. Again, the website, pastortodd.org. And we'll see you again very soon. Have a blessed rest of your day. In Jesus' name.